So they had gone for the Hajj, which was going to be known as the final Hajj. And in that Hajj, every Sahabi had one worry, that it mustn't happen that I pass away in Makkah Mukarramah. Because then, although it won't be intentional, but it will be like an unintentional, I made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. And Almighty Allah brought me back to Makkah Mukarramah and I died there. So as though my hijrah is not complete. And no Sahabi wanted that. So he falls very ill. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to visit him. He mentions that I am a rich, wealthy Sahabi with only one daughter. So when I die, my daughter will inherit everything. Or half, what you will say, half of my inheritance, which is lot. What is one girl going to do with so much, to do with so much money? She'll get married, somebody else will look after her. So at that time, that Sahabi had one thought, can't I do some good with my money? Why must it go just like that? Just like that. So he says, O Allah's Nabi, can't I give away my wealth in the path of Allah? Which is called wasiyat, but before that wasiyat, I want to give it away. Or 2/3 of my wealth, at least 2/3. 1/3 my daughter can get, but 2/3. So Allah's Nabi, and we all know the masala, says no way. So he says, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about half my wealth? Again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says no way, and that's the masala. Then he says 1/3. So Allah's Nabi answers, as-sulus, that 1/3 has been allowed, was-sulus kathir. And that also is lot. Which is a masala ulama will explain, fuqaha, that understand the tabiat of man in this masala. You see, when you're going to die, then your children already know that they're inheriting from you 2/3. So that 2/3 when they get from you, they'll never make dua for you in that 2/3. Because they'll never feel you did anything. Although you put up the business, you made the investment, you made a lot of things. That is why a unique method of keeping the love of your children is that you spend on them while you're alive. And spend on them in such a manner that don't give them a property and then they start getting money. Because once they get the property, it will be one jazakallah and then finished. After that, the money that comes, they'll never thank you after that. It's theirs now. But every time you put money in a person's hand, there's a new love, tajaddud, new love. So every now and then you put 500. That 500 makes a big difference. We went to one place, so I mentioned that everyone in the world likes money. Children like money, ulama like money. So I told the rich people, you all so rich, but you all also know if you get extra business, you all get so happy. Everyone gets happy. Man doesn't have to lie about this. So man enjoys seeing money coming. Your child will love the father to put some money. Can be 300, can be 400. Your mother might be a very wealthy woman because she's married to a wealthy man. But if you go and you put 200 in her hand, she'll get thrilled. The 200 you gave me. And if you make your wife do it, it will create like a world in that house. How many fights will break just by that money? So what happened? Ulama explained that when you're going to die, 2/3 is going to go to your inheritors. They're not going to make no dua for you. In that last 1/3, that's where your reward has been written. Give to this madrasa, give to that madrasa, give to the orphanage. But in that last 1/3, go slightly less than 1/3. Slightly less than 1/3, so that when your inheritors are getting the money, they will say, "Hey, daddy thought of us. He never give away the whole 1/3. Although 2/3 are coming already for you. But in that last 1/3, they will see less than 1/3. He made wasiyat, so that more than 2/3 can go to his inheritors. That small more, for that they'll make dua for you. That boy will say, my father was a good man. So Allah's Nabi said, as-thulus, I give permission for 1/3, was-thulusu kathir. And remember, that's lot also. There's no need for so much. But now the question comes that Allah's Nabi is going to answer to the Sahabi, that what is this reason you're asking this question? I want to give 2/3. Then I want to give half. Then I want to give 1/3. The reason is you are saying that if I die, why must all my money go wasted? That's what you are saying. So Allah's Nabi will explain now that Allah doesn't deal with us how we would have dealt if we had to look at the whole masala. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. First he says, remember one thing. وَإِنَّكَ أَن تَذَرَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَا. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام that for you to leave your inheritors rich خير لك, it's better not for them, it is better for you also, meaning in the eyes of Allah it's a big thing, better for you than you leave them poor من أن تذرهم عالى يتكففون الناس. My father was a rich man, but now today I have to go and ask people, can you help me out? So Allah's Nabi says, for you it is better that you leave your inheritors wealthy. They don't have to go to anyone after that. But again, man will think, but I'm going to go in my grave. There's no reward in this. So then Allah's Nabi says, reward comes with intention. لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ بِهَا. That remember, whatever sent is given, and your intention is Allah, then Allah is going to pay back. Allah will not look where the money was put. What he explained to the Sahabi is that you are now dying. When you are dying, you're going to leave a huge sum of money for your one daughter. And you are feeling that in that huge sum going to my daughter, there's no reward in it because she's family. So he says, to make it rewardable, you don't have to bring another girl in the place of your daughter. All you have to do is make an intention. That, O Allah, in your pleasure, I don't want my daughter to ever have to go to haram or to ever have to go to begging. So I'm leaving so much for her for you. Once that for you came, the entire thing became deen. It's a unique thing that. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will explain to what extent, hatta ma taj'alu fi fimra'atik. To such an extent that whatever you will place in your wife's mouth also, every morsel you put in your wife's mouth, for that Allah has written a reward also. So this narration, many of us heard it. Many of us heard it somewhere in our life. Normally we would have heard it when we got married. That you're getting married tonight, you know, to put a morsel in your wife's mouth is a big thing. So that's like the only time you'll practice on that. One morsel. And the second time you might practice is one day when your wife is now old and sick. And she can't eat now, she's in hospital, you put a second morsel. Between those two morsels, what about that? So the narration never meant that. That is one meaning which is like a jokey meaning. Take some food and put it in your wife's mouth. You know, no wife is going to open her mouth and say, ah, especially if a child is in front. You can feed your child, you can't feed your wife. So the narration wasn't referring to that. What it was referring to, a huge meaning, that for every morsel that you bring home, and every morsel that will now go in your wife's mouth, in your child's mouth, which yesterday you thought that this is part of daily life, when I get married, I have to bring money home, I have to bring food home, I have to bring clothing home. No one ever thought that I have to, but in that have to, Allah is writing reward also. What it will mean, every morsel you put in your wife's mouth means every potato you bring home, every tomato you put on the table, for every effort that's made to bring that to the dastarkhan, Allah is writing reward. So you go to the shops now. And when you go to the shop, you will find the prices of things hardly ever drop. Prices of things rise. When you will go there, you will say, just yesterday potatoes were so much, today it's gone more. And I got so many children. A person who got a lot of children, sometimes what he earns, they eat up right till that edge. And sometimes he has to take a loan just to survive. When he spends on his wife and his children, he spends, understanding, I have to say, very hard times. But very few people in the world will see that money going and will see reward written in its place. That man who understands, my Allah is writing a reward for every potato. When he spends 25 rand for a taket, he comes out of the shop happy that which my Allah ordered me to do, happily I gave it. And the next week when that taket goes to 35 rand, you don't have to become sad now. Because you will say that man who gave charity last week 20 rand, charity is nafal. It is not compulsory. Spending on one's family is a compulsion. You have to see to their needs. What is compulsory is called farz. What is not compulsory is called nafal. A nafal whole life can never equal to one farz, because farz is Allah's command. That Almighty Allah said, do this. That's why you do it. That man who spends that extra 10 ren, thinking that, oh Allah, it's your command, I have to look after their needs. And they need this on the table. That extra 10 ren is 10 ren more Allah has given you the chance to spend. At the end of the month, you earn 6,000 ren, and 5,700 was spent on your groceries and basic needs. No one ever thought on the day of Qiyamah, I can come. And an angel will say, 6,000 you used to earn, 6,000 you used to spend for Allah. So we will always think that 200 I gave in charity, that will be in my book. If that only was in the book, people's books will be empty on the day of Qiyamah. Almighty Allah writes, every morsel that will reach the tongue of your wife, your child, the people around you, your family, and then you will be giving every cent that's going out. Everything. So Allah's Nabi told that Sahabi, there's nothing to worry about. Because if you die and you only got one daughter, you intend Allah, Allah is going to give you. Allah is gonna. Then that Sahabi was scared, oh Allah's Nabi, will I die in Makkah? I don't want to die in Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what difference it makes to you? Because wherever you are, if your intention was the pleasure of Almighty Allah, then Allah is going to give you that pleasure wherever you are. Wherever. And then he said, but don't worry, you're not going to die. His words was, oh Allah's Nabi, will I be left back? Left back means, will I die here? Allah's Nabi said, don't worry, rather you are going to be left back. But what he meant is that we all going to pass away. You're going to carry on living. He says, you're going to be left back long. You'll be left back so long that an entire nation is going to benefit from you. The Iraq, after that, he took over the entire Iraq, Iran. He broke the entire Persian Empire. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas. He said, he asked, I'm going to be left back. He said, you are going to be left back. But in a different manner. He said, you're going to do a lot. But what he told him is that, when you will see Almighty Allah's dealings, man cannot then get depressed in this world. Because he knows for every tear there's a reward, for every smile there's a reward. For every difficult time there's a reward, for every good time there's a reward. This world is a world of rewards. Someone phones, so they complain that life is very hard. And life, I can tell you one thing, it's not supposed to be easy. Easy. This is this world. This is not Jannah. Had this world been so nice, then no one would have ever wanted to die. And no one would have come to Salah. No one would have gone to Zakah. No one would be looking for Allah. Because the world is world. Enjoy. When man starts enjoying, he starts forgetting. When man falls in problem, he starts remembering. It's a natural system of Almighty Allah. In one verse, Allah Tabaruk Tala speaks of a group of people who Almighty Allah puts them in difficulty. Then Allah Tabaruk Tala said, and if Allah wanted, he wouldn't have put them in any difficulty. But had he put them in no difficulty, they would have gone right into kufr. So Almighty Allah said, I put them into difficulty, so every now and then they think again, they become scared, they look around, someone's seeing me. And it gives them that push, that change now. Time for a change. Why that man in drugs, he has that time in his life, he's sitting on the bed and he starts having nightmares. Now he jumps up. That's the only time he'll phone an alim, he'll say, I had a very bad dream. When he was in the rave, he wasn't going to have that bad dream. That bad dream was a gift from Almighty Allah to him. And wake up. When he goes through heavy, heavy problems in life, then you will see the tear coming out. He'll say, oh Allah, what did I do? Man was doing lot wrong, but he never ever would cry. At least that one problem came in life, the tear came. So the person complained that how many problems, it's not easy. Especially when you get older, and if the husband is upset with the wife, wife is upset. Now it's like a raw life now. Now everything, you're making moves, you're not seeing things happening. Now this one is fighting, that one is fighting. So I explained this here that, you see, this world is, we all of us are in hospital. That's all. And in hospital, we all know we're not going to be here forever. A time is going to come where they're going to tell you, you're better now, go out of the hospital. That's what we're waiting for. In the hospital, everyone around us is the nurses at the hospital. Sometimes the nurses in the government hospital are good and you scored lucky. People will come out and say, hey, the nurses, they treated me well. But you don't go expecting it. And sometimes the nurses are rotten. And it doesn't really affect you because you already were told the nurses are going to be the nurses. They do their job. You might call, sometimes they might come and smile, say what you need, sometimes they won't smile. But when that man is in hospital, he got no real worry, why can't the nurses correct their attitudes? He got the worry when I'm getting out of hospital. We are living in a hospital. So whatever problems are around us is being created by the nurses. Outside the door of the hospital is called Jannah. We enter that Jannah as soon as we die. So every day we go through, we look at the nurses, we look at their moods, we look at their actions. They're always doing something that just irritates me. I just don't like that nurse. That one I just can't see. There'll always be someone. For a girl it might be her mother-in-law. For the mother-in-law it might be the daughter-in-law. For a man many a time it will be what you will call, you married one girl, her sister, that husband. Because sisters always talk. Now when that one is going for Umrah, so your wife will tell you, wait, where we can go for Umrah? Now you burn. And you say, he's showing off. Now he's going for Umrah. Now you're burning. There'll always be someone in life who you're going to burn with. So he's a nurse. You don't worry about the nurses and you will smile in this world. This world is not a place to worry about. So that was one point, that understand how much Allah has written for intention. Have good intentions and you will see unique things will happen in your life. A lot of amal you don't have to do and a lot of amal you are not able to do. We are not a world that can spend every single cent in charity. But we are a world who can make great intentions. That, oh Allah, that work I got at house is taking away all my money, but I'm doing it for you. I don't want to feed my family with haram. On that time I mentioned this point here. That to become wealthy, many people think that to become wealthy is like what my maqsad in life. So remember, to become wealthy is not a very hard thing. And there is no kamal perfection in that. But to earn wealth in a halal manner, that is something unique. And that's what we created for. And that is a unique imtihan and a farz. That, oh Allah, I'll bring halal food in my house. Even if it means I leave 4 o'clock in the morning. And from 4 to 10 o'clock at night, people tell me, you only work. I tell them, I only work but for halal. So haram doesn't come. That man will die as that people will call him a worker. But Almighty Allah will never call him a worker. Almighty Allah will call you died and you lived for me. Because that for me means I brought halal home. So that's how Almighty Allah looks. So that's intention. The second point that's important to be mentioned is another hadith where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that Almighty Allah first made the decision or wrote out al-hasanat wa-sayyat, good and bad. ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ ذَلِكَ, then Almighty Allah explained it. And what the explanation was, the crux of it was, there are four types of actions that man will go through. Either it's an intention for some good, and we make lot intentions, and you have lot intentions. I will do good. When you're sitting in this majlis, never ever think that, you know, me, I can't do. Intend for the sky, because although no one reaches the sky, but Allah rewards according to intention. You can get huge rewards. Allah's treasure is not little. That He'll watch you. You say, last time you also made same intention. But Allah is not there. So Allah's Nabi said, sometimes a man makes an intention, just on his intention, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't manage. Something happens, it doesn't work. So Almighty Allah writes for him a reward. Why the reward is written? Because that intention comes out because of love for an Allah. That's why that reward is written. Who will make an intention to be good tomorrow? Who will make an intention, I'm not going to watch that porn anymore? Who will make an intention, okay, now I won't fight with my wife? Only that man makes an intention who knows that, oh Allah, I have to please you somewhere. That's why he made the intention. Almighty Allah is so loving that he says, at least that intention spurred from love. So I have to write. In the ahadith you will see examples, and this is called Allah's unique kindness over man. That one man, before dying, he told his sons that when I die, you'll burn me. After burning me, you will take my body, which is powder, and you will throw it everywhere in the winds. So as they did that, then Almighty Allah said, be, and that boy, man's body was formed immediately. He was in front of Allah. So Almighty Allah said, what made you do such a stupid action? It is not allowed. So all he said is, oh Allah, I never knew how I'll stand in front of. So Almighty Allah said, now enter into paradise. What was that entrance into paradise? So Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimullah will write that, don't ever go think I'll do the same thing. I'll write in my wasiyat, burn me also. It's not going to happen. You who love on Allah's commands. But there are many people in the world who will do wrong also. But that intention behind the wrong was good. Almighty Allah will say, never mind, you were like a villager. What you know? Many people, we might fight with the person, and the job of the alim is to say, no way. You can't do these things. The other day someone asked this question when we were eating, that now in Gaza's issue was taking place. So there were so many people who went out and they marched. And we all know that marching, especially where men and women get together, is nothing right. There's no good in it. And you're making a mockery more of what you're supposed to be doing. And that's how we will normally say it from the front. But because we were on the table, I told them that, you know, that's what the alim's job is. And alim is a protector of shariat. He talks shariat. He tells you, you can't do these things. But then alim will also explain that sometimes in that group of people marching, there will be that boy and that girl who got nothing to do with the masjid. They got nothing. You telling them you were not wearing niqab, that girl, she's in the rave every night. She got no deen. But because she saw something that had relation to Islam, Ghazza, so she joined the kafla. The alim will have to explain all of them are guilty. And all of them are sinful. But when those one people come up in front of Almighty Allah, they can be certain of them who Almighty Allah will say, what made you walk out? So she said, the love of Muslims in everyone enter into Jannah. It's a unique Allah. Small. So always appreciate sometimes an action of someone who looks stupid also. It's a stupid action. Because Allah Tabarak Ta'ala appreciates a lot. The alim's job is to protect shariat. He says, you can't do this again. You'll never do it. But Allah appreciates. Munawwar Jalaluddin Rumi rahimullah explains that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam heard of that man or that shepherd who came and he asked Nabi Musa alayhi salam that how does Allah look after the whole world? So looking after the whole world, there must be times when he's getting tired, his nails will become long, who's going to cut his nails? So he says, if there is a job there, I'll be ready to do it. So Musa alayhi salam became upset. That how can you speak like this against Allah? Allah got long nails. And that's how it's supposed to be. That's an alim. You don't talk rubbish. But Allah Ta'ala will send then wahi to Musa alayhi salam. That go and tell that man that Allah wants him to make this khidmat of his Allah. That Allah appreciated his sentence. Although the sentence was wrong completely. But why he said it? He said it, he never knew Allah, but he loved Allah. So Almighty Allah appreciate. Now go and teach him how to say it in the future. But you don't say long nails. You don't say things. You say, oh Allah, how can I make you happy? Allah appreciates. So that man who makes an intention, that intention spurs because of love. There will be an intention. But love. And love will bring lot of reward. Love. That one man who said, oh Allah, in your fear I burned myself. That I fear. In that day he said, going to Jannah. That man who says, why you intended? He said, love. Every time, love. Again the next day I failed, but love again made me make a new intention. How many people, their maghfirat was made that after they were drunk, when they were sober for that few hours, they just cried. The world will tell them, you are lost case, but that cry spurred from love. That one day, how I'll face Allah? So that's one. Then the second is that man who makes a good intention and he somehow manages to do it. So then Almighty Allah will write for him 10, or it could go up to 70, or it could go up to 700, or it could go to whatever it is, according to how then the action was done. Thereafter the third will be a man who makes an evil intention. And then just before doing that evil intention, there's no barrier that the world puts. It's not that the police landed up there. Or you were going, driving to that woman's house and suddenly you saw her husband is also there. So you say, today, not today. For there won't be reward. But you driving, and then that day you just say that, no man, it's not worth it. And you go away. That one not worth it, which is like a very small thing, because you are doing a guna. Someone is walking, and he's walking to you to punch you, to hit you. And then on the way, he just says, hey, that rubbish, forget about him. You will now never go to that person and say, hey, Jazakallah, for not hitting me. Once you found out he's coming to hit you, you're never going to reward him after that. It'll never happen in the system of the world. It only happens in the system of Allah. That Almighty Allah sees a man making an evil intention, and he goes all the way to it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of the three people in the cave. And he says, the one person, his dua was that he came right till now, the final act of adultery. He says, when everything was there, and that girl then just said, don't you fear Allah. Right at the ending, he said, I just stood up. Already at that time, you already touched, you already whatever. Only he never then enter. See, at that time, I just stood up and I walked. But on that day, he put it in a dua that, oh Allah, why did I do it? I did it for you. What pulled me? And on that day, he saw a karamat, a miracle happening. That rock moved. Each one made a dua, the rock moved. On that in class, one point came to my mind which I explained. That remember that, see in this hadith, which man did that karamat? That's a karamat, isn't it? He moved a rock with his dua. And rock means a major problem in your life. Allah will make you a means of moving major problems, because you just pulled away. So I explained, you see in this narration, this man, he made a karamat, but he was not the wali of the time. Because you can't call that man a wali. He came telling, you know what, my wilayat. A man will speak about his wilayat, you know, I gave my life in the khidmat of this sheikh, I did this, I did that. No man will come and say, you know, my wilayat, there was this girl, and then I told her, we have to do something, and then one day we got together and she took out all her clothes, and then I came right there, and finally I stopped. Everyone says, sheikh, we want to take bait at your hands. It'll never happen. That man is not a wali. But why did the karamat take place on his hands? Because Almighty Allah appreciates, that's why. Why do people have good dreams? I went one place, so one man told me his wife had this dream. She had a dream of a handsome person, very handsome. And he invited her to Medina Munawwara. What a dream it was. And then in Medina Munawwara, there were many people there. So then he cleared them away. When he cleared them away, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the handsome person told him, now make salam. So she asked why. So the handsome person told her that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to listen to your salam. You selected. Or like in privacy or something. And most likely in the dream she heard the reply of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what a dream. So he was very happy. So he asked me. So I told him, one thought has come in my mind. That is your wife in parda? So he said, not in parda. So I said, this dream is telling her to go into parda. The handsome man was Islam. And he was inviting your wife that you are a good woman, but you have to enter fully into Islam. Fully into Islam, that's why he took her to Medina Munawwara. Because the most fullest Islam you will ever find is in the court of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he brought your wife into full Islam. What was the full Islam missing in her life? One of the things was, That handsome man Islamed and told the other woman, move away. And the other people. When he moved them away, he gave her a message. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likes to see you, that you be kept away from others. And when you will do that, you will become deserving of his direct salam also. But then now, why will she see that dream? And a woman who is in parda already, she's not seeing the dream. She mustn't think, I'd rather take out my parda. Until I get that dream, I put it on. It's because the weaker person, you give a gift to try and spur that person on. Wake up. That man who's in drugs and one day he makes tawbah, that night he'll see a top dream. Because Allah Ta'ala says, MashaAllah, Mubarak to you. That man will sometimes see karama taking place in his life. Because Allah appreciates. Today you made tawbah. And as you're driving, you just missed a major accident. And you say, why? That how Allah saved me? Say, I saved you, my servant, because I love you. That you're not the wali of the time, but you took one step, I'm appreciating. Come. So sometimes good dreams when you see, don't ever get pride that now I'm pious. You see a karamat that you did in your life, don't ever get thrilled. Then a tear must come that how my Allah appreciates. That I'm such a filthy person, but any small thing, and then Allah opens another door, he says, come, come. Can give you this gift, I'll give you that gift, do something, stay. So three, one is you made a good intention, you never do it, someone is writing. Then you made a good intention, you did it. Lot is being written. Then you made an evil intention and you pull back. Again something is being written and big things are being written. In the love of Allah. Finally you made an evil intention and you did it. So Almighty Allah will write out that evil for you. Now the explanation of this whole thing now is in our example. Because one boy the other day asked, how do I stay away from sin? So I answered that we don't stay away from sin, because this world we have been created to always make sin. We are all sinners. And this world is like that ice ring, that everyone is skating, but a time has to come where you also slip. On the ice ring you already take your towel, because you are ready to slip. When we came in the world, we were sent with istighfar, number one. The first thing that Adam a.s. before coming down was, he was inspired with the words, رَبَّنَا وَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. This was that inspiration before Adam a.s. comes down. Already in Jannah, Allah inspired him. He started reading it. Almighty Allah said, right, work done. That inspiration, then Quran came down. The beginning of Surah Baqarah will start with this, رَبَّنَا وَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, after a few pages. That your work will get done in this world with istighfar. So if you are given the towel right at the beginning, it means what? You're going to fall a lot. Because you can't really skate in this world without falling. You're going to fall. But how do we become unique now? So we become unique on this year. That for every good, a reward is being written. And every evil, a sin is being written. How do you get a scale heavier of good than bad? So normally when we look at a person, a boy will come and tell you, you know me, I got no istiqamah. That 6, 7 days, 8 days, 9 days I manage. I don't send her the message, I re-perform my salah, and then I fall. Then 2 days, 3 days, I'm flat, I don't read salah. And thereafter we'll give him advice, now he'll come back after a while, he'll say, hey, I got some istiqamah, 15 days, 20 days. I was moving, and then I just gave in. I had to send that message. Then she sent me, whole night I was stuck. And like this, it will carry on. A time will come where the sheikh also will get tired. And he will tell him that, you know what, you have to become firm, you. How are you going to? But now when Allah Ta'ala is looking at that same boy, look at how Allah will look at him. When that boy, day one passed, and he performed 5 salah, and he never sent a message, that angel is writing, 24 hours obedience of Allah. Day 2, 24 hours obedience of Allah. Day 3, 24 hours obedience of Allah. Day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7. On day 7, he slept. Where the sheikh will tell him, how could you do what you did? But the angel will write on day 7, 23 hours obedient, half an hour disobedient, 1 hour disobedient. Now you will have 7 days of obedience, and on one side there will be 1 hour of disobedience. And that 1 hour of disobedience, Almighty Allah will now start looking for ways to erase it. Somewhere along the line. He'll give some charity, cut it off quickly. Let it go. No way in the world this will happen. That man who wants to give up cigarettes, this is an example, not if cigarettes is haram, halal, that's a different issue. But let's just say cigarettes is a bad thing. Why he doesn't give up cigarettes is because normally he'll say, I tried enough, and I always failed. So now I gave up trying. Finished. But now imagine that man is told that, you know, every time you give up, reward is being written. Because everyone walks more than you're going to fall. That's natural. Even that small child, he'll fall a lot, but his walking is more than the falling. It's only that the falling you remember. No one remembers the walking. Your child is riding his bicycle. The third time he falls, you'll say, you're always falling. But you don't remember how much he rode. The only one who writes how much was ridden was Almighty Allah. That I saw the wheel turning so many times. So all that is good. One fall, one dead. So it's a unique system this. And on that system Allah makes people shine on the day of Qiyamah. People will think, I got nothing. Almighty Allah says, I got a lot. If you thought you were a failure, but you never failed the whole day. You failed at certain places, I wrote certain places. I write everything. The rest of the time you were not failing. I was writing, not failing. It's a unique world. There's no despondency in this world. And in the system, understand what a loving Allah. How He has made that system. So die for that Allah. Love for that Allah. Die for that Allah. Don't become despondent. Give yourself. Allah has given so much. We just give ourselves. So that was two points that I mentioned. One was intention. The second point was how Allah Tabarak Tala then rewards, that there's no despondency in this. Lot is given. And the third point that I mentioned, which we will end on now, is what is called Islam. Especially with Qurbani coming, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the issue about what was the imtihan. So I mentioned this point on what is Islam, which comes in a hadith that a certain time on the day of Qiyamah, even Salah will come, Zakah will come. And they will say, oh Allah, we want to intercede for him. So Almighty Allah will say, wait a little bit. Then Islam will come. When Islam will come, Almighty Allah will say, you will talk first. Because of you, I'm going to make a lot of judgments. Now, what is this Islam? So Islam means to submit. It was such a unique thing that Almighty Allah says, Huwa sammakumul muslimin. That Islam means to submit, but Almighty Allah chose that name as the title for this ummah. An ummah who has submitted. We were not called an ummah who reads Quran, qari. Although Quran was a unique thing in our religion. We were not called sa'im, although fasting was unique. We were not called mujahid, although jihad is unique in this ummah. All the qualities we got, this ummah of each one was called Muslim. You submitted. Because there's a world of difference between salah, which takes place only five times in the day. So it will be, if your Islam had to be salah, then an angel will only be writing at different points, five times of the day, Hiradi Salah, Hiradi Salah, Hiradi Salah. If our Islam was Hajj, then the angel will hardly be writing anything. If our Salah was Zakah, angel will hardly write. Our Islam is Islam. What is Islam? That I submit. How I submit? I wake up in the morning and now I have to put on my clothing. In my clothing I got a choice. Then I can either submit to my own passion, desire and to the fashion around me. So I will take a long trouser and I'll wear it. My wife won't tell me anything. My father-in-law, even if he's grand mufti, is not going to tell me anything. They're scared of me. I can wear a trouser over my ankle. I can make it above my ankle. Who will tell me in the world what to do? I'll go to the masjid. I might roll it up. I might not. Even if Maulana makes an announcement 10 times, lift up your trouser, he can carry on. He's not going to force me. No one will force me. But because I'm a Muslim, I'll submit to Allah's command. So at that time I'll say, my wife, you know what, I can't wear a trouser like this, give me another trouser. And it will be slightly up. As soon as I put that trouser on, an angel will start writing the reward of Islam from the beginning of the day till the time when it comes I take out my trouser. Because he submitted. How much of reward he will get on the one trouser? That man will now go to the man cutting hair. That man who's going to cut the hair can cut in any style. He can cut how much you want, where you want, anything, your body it is. You can tell him, cut the beard and leave the moustache. You can tell him, cut little hair, leave lot hair. Anything you want to. No one is going to stop you because no one can force Islam on you. But when you yourself become Muslim, you say, oh Allah, you want hair like this? How my Nabi told me Allah is happy, I submit. As soon as that man cut his hair now and he went away, either you bless or you short. But you fulfill a requirement. From the time that that hair has been cut, an angel has to be writing, this man's hair has submitted to Allah. When it will stop writing? Your hair submitted. Who will ever think my hair submitted? Your nails will submit. That woman looks at it, she wants to put on that funny, whatever it is. And she says, I heard that mufti saying, no, mustn't do it. Finished. On that no of the mufti, her nails submitted to Allah. As long as that thing never ever comes, an angel is writing, Muslima. She's a woman whose nail has submitted to Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he came, he taught fitrat, which I always wonder, what a thing this is, that so much importance was put in the hadith, that what is fitrah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, removing this hair, yeah, is fitrah. I think, what's so important? Fitrah. But as soon as the man removes this hair, understanding this is how Allah likes it, this underarm has submitted. Until the time that that hair grows long under the underarm, who sees what's happening under the underarm? That angel is writing. Underarm submitted. The hair of the pubic area submitted. This part submitted. That part submitted. The whole body starts submitting. Islam is a unique thing. And if this Islam can come in our life, you will see angels will be writing day in, day out. Day in, day out. When he's sleeping, he'll be writing submitted. Because that's how you're going to sleep. You can sleep and you had some haram on your ear. Or you could have taken out and said, I don't want to have any haram. and you say, oh Allah, I'd sleep in your pleasure, you submit it. I'd rather go to sleep instead of looking at porn that angel is writing. All night you sleeping, he's writing. Submission. So on that I ended with this year, that what we need to do is bring Islam into our lives. We brought Salah in our lives, Zakah in our lives, Hajj in our life, Umrah has become Lot in our life. That Mr. Islam also has to come. And when this Mr. Islam will come, why we don't want him to come is because we want to be friends with Islam outside our house. So I'll meet Islam in the masjid, because in the masjid Mr. Islam can't tell me much, he can only make salam, because the masjid is a masjid. I'll smile at Islam, he'll smile at me. I will meet Islam at Hajj. After I out of my Zamzam hotel, I'll go in the Kaaba, I'll meet Islam there, I'll smile, I'll cry also. But Islam, after he becomes such a friend, he sees me in the masjid, sees me Hajj, sees me Ramadan. One day Islam will say, my friend, you know, for you to become someone, you have to allow me to come visit you now. That no one wants. Because no one wants that your sheikh comes in your house and the television is there. No one wants that. And you can fool your sheikh by moving it in the bedroom, but you can't fool Islam. Because when Islam comes, he says, I'm coming for a couple of days. Because no parada between me and your wife. So I will now stay in your house, give me 3 days. No one wants that. But when you bring that Islam, say, come, no problem, enter. You will see Islam is a unique friend. Number one, he'll never disgrace. Islam doesn't disgrace anyone. He'll never come in your house and say, what is this? I thought you were a pious man. Look at this. Islam will never do that. Islam will come and say, I want to make you someone. So the first thing Islam will say, you know me, I'm a unique barber. That you don't have to go to somebody else to cut your hair. I myself am a barber. You see your hair, very good hair. But because so much has been cut and so little is left, let me just take out the rest. Suddenly you become blessed and Islam says you are Allah's wali, your hair has submitted. You let me become your barber now. Don't worry about this pop star, that pop star. Let Islam become. He'll show you how to keep hair, how to remove hair. Then Islam will look at you, he'll make a little massage here, he'll pull here, he'll say, wow, what a lovely beard. Look at yourself in the mirror. Your beard came out suddenly. Because the beard submitted finally. Whoever doesn't want to keep the beard, he must know his face to want to submit. Let the face submit. When it submits, an angel is writing. A face says submitted. What a thing it is. Whoever will think an angel is writing submission of my face. I'm in the work. I'm looking at my accounts. Angel is writing face has submitted. That beard has submitted. Shaitan will die if this beard can come out, because then an angel has to write face never submit. Submit it. Then Islam will look at your clothing. He'll go into your wardrobe. He'll say, wow, what lovely clothing you have. He'll just take out a ruler of it. He'll measure your legs and he'll measure your trouser. You say, something funny here. It can't happen that this trouser fits on this leg. It needs a little bit to be cut. And Islam will be your tailor. Islam will go to your wife's clothing. He'll measure, she got long leg, but she got a short dress. He said, this doesn't make sense at all. And Islam will be so good to you, he'll even tell you, you don't have to go buy new clothing. The material I cut from your kurta, I'll join it to your wife's dress. Now your wife got a long dress, you got a short trouser. But you submitted, she submitted. That submission will change the whole life. Islam will look at you and say, you know, a TV, you don't look nice in that place. But the table on which the TV is, that don't touch it. We'll keep that entire thing. We'll make some shelves, put 1-2 kitabs. How nice it looks now. Few changes Islam will do. And when Islam leaves you, then Islam says, my friend, I leave you as the wali of Allah. You don't have to do anything more. Nafal level, but do, don't worry. But you are Allah's wali already. Why? Because your whole house has now submitted. Your business has submitted. So now an angel is going to become tired writing. He will write on every, this foot submitted. This leg submitted. That's when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Inna salati wa nusuki. My ibadat, which is called salah, and my hajj. That is definitely for Allah. Then he said, Wa mahyaya wa mamati. My living also is for Allah. That is that living. Our entire life I will submit for my Allah. That man, where he'll come on the day of Qiyamah? Allah tabarakallah make us all those people. Some way or the other we make this thing that Islam, I want you to enter. I want to submit. And as I told you, it's not hard. Many have submitted already, a little bit. Few changes you have to make in your life. Certain things are hard to give up. You like certain things, but at least say, I want to give it up. Then it will be pushed away. Now and then you'll grab it back. You don't want to see sports, so push it away a little bit. Then again you'll go on the internet, you'll quickly check up, but don't keep it there. Let it get pushed away. It gets pushed, it'll come for a while. Then it gets pushed, it'll come for a while. But carry on kicking. Every now and then say, I don't like it. Kick it. And you know it's going to come back, but carry on kicking. At least every time you kick, that angel is writing, submitted, submitted. And a day is going to come when you'll kick hard. And it's going to go very far. Allah Ta'ala grant us all reality, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, As-salatu was-salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. O most Rahim Allah, most Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most kind Allah. O Allah, the blessings of Islam, O Allah, the reality of Islam, the haqiqat of Islam. O Allah, put this in every person's heart, O Allah, every person's body, O Allah. O Allah, make us embodiments of Islam. O Allah, make us a true Muslim. O Allah, make us a true mu'min. O Allah, let us live in your pleasure. O Allah, let us die in your pleasure. O Allah, let our every second be that how we can sacrifice our everything only for you, O Allah. O Allah, in the face of haram, O Allah. O Allah, create a gap between us and haram, as you have created a gap between the heavens and the earth. O Allah, as you have created a gap between east and west. O Allah, when haram is so much around us, then there are certain times that we think, how can we ever pull away from haram? O Allah, but when we have seen the oceans, and when we have seen the river meeting the ocean, and when we have seen places where two oceans meet, and in Quran you have explained that has man not seen that place where two waters join together, yet the water of one side is not allowed into the other, and the water of that side can't come into this. Whereas between the two waters, O Allah, the world sees no barrier. The only barrier is your command. O Allah, that command which does not allow one drop of water to go into another drop of water. O Allah, with that command we ask that between us and the haram that is around us, let not a single effect of the haram enter into us. O Allah, we live in this world, but let the love of this world not enter into us. O Allah, we live surrounded by attractions, with filth, with dirt. O Allah, let the poison of all this never enter into us. O Allah, you join us to your unique magnet. O Allah, you pull us towards your unique colors. O Allah, even if we don't want to walk into Jannah, O Allah, you grab us like a mother grabs a child. When that car is coming and the child is going to be smashed, the child doesn't want to get out of the road, but the mother pulls. O Allah, we are that naughty child that we are staying stuck on the road. O Allah, as a mother in love pulls a child out of the way of harm, O Allah, we ask that you also pull us out of the way of harm. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Allah, O Allah, all that is good, O Allah, give us. O Allah, all that is evil, protect us. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama tuhibbu wa tarada. في عدد ما تحب وترضى رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبي ورسولا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله